if you're getting to the point where you're unhappy in your role, it's really, really important that you bring that up. Too often do I hear about team members leaving or my own team members wanting to leave, and then I just have a conversation with them and they're like, I never knew that that was even an option.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Super pumped to be here today, talking per usual. Hope y'all have been enjoying the content. Hey, remember, I'm trying to get more five-star reviews on iTunes and the places that you listen to this. Share it with your friends on social media. All that would be very appreciated. Today's episode is going to, I think, hit home with a lot of people. It's a very fresh episode for me because I'm going to be talking about team turnover, specifically losing a good team member today and just the thought process that goes into team turnover, the ups, the downs, how you strategically plan moving forward, all that stuff. So we'll get into team turnover today. But before we do that, hey, the Nashville 3D Dentist Growth Summit, I think it's May 1st and 2nd, somewhere in there. The same weekend as Morgan Wallen in Nashville, if you're a Morgan Wallen fan. He's playing at Nissan Stadium. But hey, you should come. You should bring your team. I think we're about 75% full. So go online at 3D-dentist.com to sign up for our 3D Growth Summit. Lots of good speakers. Nashville. Y'all know how we train the team. Good stuff. Okay. Anyway, so team turnover is always hard, right? And it happens in two ways. You have people that quit, and then you have people that you fire. And so they both kind of come with pros and cons. I mean, obviously, sometimes it's better that they quit because, you know, it can be challenging mentally to like move on from people, especially when you're committed to them and you need to have change. And then there's a lot of times where you have people move that you don't want to move. They like you lose good people. And honestly, that's kind of what happened today. So we had a team member decide yesterday. She turned in her 2 weeks notice and I was out of the office. So I got to talk to her today. It's not always a hard feelings. I think in her case, she doesn't even want to stay in dental. She wants to get back into doing what she was doing before. And so now we have to make changes, right? So this person, the role that they're in is they're basically our new patient lead generating phone person. So anybody that calls in from our phone marketing, she's like at the top of the funnel for getting us leads into the office. So it's a very important role and, you know, a role that I think is interesting for a couple reasons. And I want to back this up really and just talk about, I think, what we can do when this happens. So my first response is when someone decides, hey, I want to leave, I want to figure out, is it something that we can do differently or not? A lot of the dentists will just be like, well, let's forget it. Let's move on. And I've come to realize that sometimes it's just a seat on the bus issue. And what I mean by that is that it's not that they're the wrong fit for the office, they're the wrong fit for the position that they're in. So I go to her and I say, hey, like, that's my first question is there another role in the office that you look at and you're like, hey, that sounds enjoyable. I like that. And maybe it's something we can look at doing and transitioning if it makes sense. In her case, we kind of started having this conversation. It became clear that like, really, it was just a matter of not wanting to really be in dental and more anymore, or really being like a patient kind of facing fronting scenario. And I was like, well, unfortunately there isn't really a role in our office that doesn't involve being in front of patients. Right. So that's challenging. And you know, and so I don't like having turnover. I don't like having change. Like it costs money to rechain new people. But if that's your situation, so be it. So now you're fixed with, okay, well, what do you do? And I typically look, this is the hard part I think people need to hear. The idea that we're going to find 8, 10, 15, in my case, 35 team members that are going to stay with me for life is not realistic. You know, especially when like primarily I'm hiring a generation that's my age or below me. So, you know, being 35 down to their 20s and even in some of them that are less than 20 years old, and knowing that where they are in life is going to naturally have someone that's going to change a lot of jobs. You know, and you just look at the statistics and data on it, is that most people in those age groups don't stay at a job more than a year or two. Like people that go stay over a job for more than 2 years are somewhat of an anomaly. And you think about it, their life changes a lot. They have new boyfriends or girlfriends that come in. They have they may have kids. They may move. They like their interests may change. And so that can be a challenge in hiring that age group, because that age group is a much higher likelihood to turn over. Whereas, you know, if you've got somebody who's in their 30s or their 40s or 50s, even those people are at a point in their life where, generally speaking, there's a more of a sense of stability in what they want to do for their career. They've been doing it for a while and they most likely want to continue doing it. And so I think that's a challenge that we've got to learn to accept. And that if we want to hire young, talented people, that we got to be okay with knowing that they are going to want to move. Now, sometimes it's moving within my practice, that's seats on the bus. Sometimes it's moving, like in this situation, where they're going to go back to doing something else that doesn't even involve dentistry. And that is a emotional thing. So, you know, Aubrey calls me, who's our director of operations, yesterday, and she says, do you want the bad news now or do you want it later? I was like, well, man, I was like, and I've had her start asking that question, because honestly, I've just realized in my own self that I need to be in the right headspace to have those conversations. And I was in a pretty good headspace. So I said, yeah, like what's good. Now that you've told me what's going on. So she says, well, so-and-so just came and turned in their 2 weeks notice. And Aubrey was visibly upset. She was like, you know, in tears and like, it's their friends, you know, like, I mean, she's my friend too. And like, you know, you hate to have people move on, but ultimately I look at it pretty quickly and I assess, okay, I say, is there something we've done or could do differently to keep this person? Have I laid out clear expectations? Have I made myself a competitive person to keep this person? And I was like, I think we have. Are they leaving to go to another dental practice to do the same job? Because if they are, now I start to look inwardly and be like, okay, what could we do differently? Well, they aren't. So like then I start to look and say, okay, well, where will we be? How do we now pivot and move forward in a business? So I kind of reassured Aubrey. I said, look, at the end of the day, I know you're bummed about losing a friend and it's the people that sucks, but we've got to be comfortable knowing that like turnover and change is going to happen. This isn't about you. This isn't about us. It clearly sounds like this is a situation where they just wanted to go back to doing something else. So we can't beat ourselves up, but I get that you're bummed. And like, that's natural to be bummed. But I said, honestly, I think this is an area now where we actually get to move forward. And I tend to, part of it is emotional spinning for me and the team, right? Like part of it is me saying like, onward and upward, right? Like we'll be fine. But then I think there's a real seriousness to the reality that when you look back at hires and people that have left you or people that you fired, that historically over time, you end up moving in a better direction. And that's because people help you go places, but then they can't always help you get to the next places. I know, and I kind of used my example with my team today. I used my example of my dad. I was like, Dad had built a really good practice for 25 years. We came in and took that practice and stood on top of it and took it to a place they never would have expected that it could go. And I kind of look at this and this situation with his employee is this employee is now gone and they've taken this role. That the role didn't even exist when they got here. We created this role as our full arch, you know, startup within our business basically grew, and we created and cultivated this role. And the challenge with that is that you're kind of building a role around a person, and then as that role develops, you sometimes realize that it's not the right fit for the role. And that's kind of ultimately what happened, in that at the time, this person was one of the more talented people that I wanted to move in to help get this role off the ground. But as the roles developed and changed and we see what the role is really becoming into, we see that, hey, this is more of a sales role. And if that person doesn't like sales, that's going to be a challenge. So the glass half full part of this says to me, okay, we should be so grateful and thankful to them to helping us get this off the ground. But I think we'll actually go forward and be even better now because we'll get someone in the right seat in the bus who's excited about that role, right? So that's motivated by that type of role. And because I already know that if I had someone in the role that wasn't fully in, then there's room to improve there, right? So even if they were doing a good job, now I start to think, well, gosh, if I have someone in that role that's really hungry, ready to go, now what can they do with the role? So I think it's important to kind of look at those things. So now on that note, typically what we have to do is when someone leaves and they quit, it's like now a scramble. Get the ads out. We got to get somebody in. We can't not have our phones answered. We can't not let insurance build. And I think one of the things that I pride myself on, and I talk about this a good bit when we just talk about practice growth in general, is that my goal is that I'm on some level, I'm always a little over-teamed during growth mode. Just because I want to have that flexibility to potentially pivot and move people into different roles, grow a role. And so when I'm in a mindset of growth, where we're trying to kind of keep scaling up, I'm okay with being on, you know, the higher end of what my team overhead would be. And I'm not saying like 30, 35%. I'm just saying that if my ideal overhead's 23, 24, 25, 26%, I would be okay with getting up to 27, 28%, not indefinitely, but to kind of help us grow and build so that when a situation like this arises, yes, I always am a believer of let's get an ad out, let's see what's out there, but we don't necessarily have to rush because we've got good people here that maybe we need to, again, evaluate where they're sitting on the bus and move someone up into this role. And so that's what we're doing is we actually kind of took an inventory of all our employees on the administrative front office side and said, okay, well, who's doing well here and who's doing good and what sort of affinity does any of these people have for this type of role? Are they a kind of self-driven person? Do they have a directive of like they're motivated by metrics, motivated by money even, because I would like to tie this person based off the role to moving into a role that's more that their financial compensation is tied to the amount of leads coming in and getting closed because it's directly correlated to how well they do their job. And I want someone to know that like, hey, whether I'm at work, not at work, weekend, whether it's a message at night, I want someone who's willing to respond to those leads and follow up, knowing that whenever it's closed, it's ultimately tying into their financial compensation. So it's a unique situation where we go outside of our normal bonus system because it's a very niche type role in the practice. So Miranda's the one we're going to be moving, and she's been a treatment coordinator for us because, you know, we believe in having dedicated treatment coordinators, and at our size, we've gotten to the point where we now have two. And so it allows us to pivot Mirena up into this new role that she's going to be taking on, and we can cover amongst the other administrative for a, you know, not indefinitely, but for a reasonable period of time until we can find the right person to come in and take over that role. So I think it's just a good example and discussion. It's an important discussion to have in a couple fold. One, like I said, I think it's important to remember that you're going to have team members leave. That's okay. It's not about you necessarily. I think you always need to take an inward look and could we have done things differently? Could we have been better? Could we have given a better offer? Or is it truly not a right fit? Because at the end of the day, what I don't want is I don't want team members to stay not wanting to be here. I'm not going to get 120% out of them if they're not happy in their role. I'm going to get 70 to 80% out of them if I'm lucky. So I'm a believer that like at the end of the day, I'm not going to try to push or like desperately plead with someone to stay if they don't want to be here. And then the next takeaway is have I built my team in a way that we're cross-trained to some degree, that we've got the capacity to potentially have a kind of an extra team member, or have I looked at how I can leverage my team members in the practice to move around to maybe potentially get them on a better seat on the bus. And I keep saying this kind of term of getting the right team member on the right seat on the bus, because what I mean by that is just a lot of times we hire people for a role and then we feel like it's not working out. And it's not that they couldn't work out at the practice. It's just they're not working out in the role. And so we really take a critical look whenever we have a change in someone, you know, leaving off the roster for whatever reason, whether it's that we're firing them or they're choosing to leave. And we say, are there other people in the practice that would be better suited to be in that role than their current role? And I know some of you are like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, hygienists are hygienists, assistants are assistants, and front office are front office. But oftentimes it's taking a hygienist and making them a treatment coordinator, taking a hygienist and making them a provider, a pseudo provider, right? In ortho or sleep or something like that. It could be taking an assistant, making them a treatment coordinator. It could be taking an assistant, making them a front office person. Like once you start to understand people and their personalities and what drives them and what they're good at, then you got to decide, okay, how do I move people along? So for instance, we've got a former hygienist as a sterile tech towards the back end of her career. We've got another former hygienist as our director of operations. We've got another hygienist as a treatment coordinator. And then we've got another assistant that works up front. So we've got kind of this, and then we have another assistant in Andrea, who's the director of the clinical operations of the practice. So my point in saying all this is it's not uncommon to think about how I could leverage and move the people. And if you're a team member listening to this, I think it's something you need to feel comfortable with having conversations with your doctor, is that if you're getting to the point where you're unhappy in your role, it's really, really important that you bring that up. Too often do I hear about team members leaving or my own team members wanting to leave, and then I just have a conversation with them and they're like, I never knew that that was even an option. I never knew that you would even consider me in this role. And so that to me is my worst fear, is that someone one day will leave and take a job somewhere else where they could have done that role here. They didn't have to meet new people, make new friends. Like, they could have potentially gotten more money here, like whatever that looks like. And so I think it's important that if you're in an office where you like the people and you enjoy working there, but your something is not hitting home from just what it is you do, how you like what you're doing, I want to encourage you to have conversations with your doctor, your office manager, et cetera, to try to get you into the right seat on the bus. Because ultimately, your happiness is really important to us, because if you're not happy, I know that I'm not going to get the best out of you, and therefore we all lose in some regard. And so to me, that's really important. So I hope this message hits home. It's been kind of a little bit of a bum day, just because, again, it's bittersweet. That's what I should say. It's bittersweet. Because we're losing a team member that I really enjoy, that is a great cultural fit with the practice. But at the end of the day, if she feels like she has to come beyond to be here and she can't be her to be here, then I want her to be happy. And I know that at the end of the day for us, we'll find somebody who will move into that position that will probably even do better for the business and be a better fit. And ultimately, that's a win-win-win for everybody. So stay tuned for the next episode. If you want to hear more, if you like it, let me know. And everybody works smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.